I'm just curious, swans, how many have been around swans much in their lifetime? Or from what I've, I don't see anyone raising their hand. From what I've read, swans are very, they can attack you. And I have a feeling if you would have got close to that swan that Luke showed there, that swan would have attacked with a vengeance. And that's going to tie into what I'm going to share towards the end of my message. I don't know if I'll mention it or not, but David, he hid himself in God, and God was his vengeance. He allowed God to take vengeance on his those that were accusing him. So I'd like to begin with a story about something that happened to me, and I think, let's see, is David here? I don't see, he's not here this morning, okay. Anyhow, he was kind of a witness of this a couple years ago, but a little over 2 years ago in March, our greenhouses were full, and I was watering in the one smaller greenhouse, we call it the hoop house, and I noticed something strange was going on in the greenhouse there. There, in four or five spots, there was plant leaves that were scorched, and some of the trays and the pots were melted, and the black ground cover was, it was also burnt. It was burnt all the way through to the gravel. So at each spot, you could kind of see like a distinct burn line. It was kind of like in an arch. And it kind of looked like someone had taken a torch and kind of swept it over the plants. And it was like four or five different spots down throughout that greenhouse. And I couldn't figure it out. Was someone trying to burn the greenhouse down? Was there a competitor in the area that was wanting to see what we had, even though we didn't have that much, really? Or was, someone planning to come in and steal the plants? I just couldn't quite figure out what was going on. But this person that came in, it looked like the only source of light that he had was a torch, and he was trying to, it was nighttime. And because our dog Flicker had maybe chased him off, because that night, just the night before, I did remember getting up. It was during the time that Carmen was spending some time over at my mom's place, and I was at home by myself. And I remember getting up during the night because Flicker had just been barking and barking down towards the greenhouse there. And I was a little bit kind of in the back of my mind. You always wonder if someone's going to come in and steal your plants or, take something. So I got up during the night, and I stood on the porch, and I looked down towards the greenhouse, and I didn't see any car lights, or I didn't see any didn't see any activity down there. It was kind of one of those nights where the moon was pretty bright, and I could see the moon shining on top of the greenhouse down there. So I went back to bed, and then when I got up in the morning, I found this down at the greenhouse. I found these burn spots on the plastic. The pots were burned. The tags were melted in some places, and I just couldn't figure it out. So the next morning, I got up and I went down. And I was checking the power line to see if there was a vehicle pulled down there. I was looking for boot tracks and stuff like that. I was, very suspicious that someone had been down there. And in fact, the sheriff was sitting out here in the parking lot. And I went and I figured, well, I'll see if anything was going on during the night. And he told me that there had been some strange things going on during that night. He said that he had seen where someone had driven off into the grass between here and Covenant Baptist Church. There was, he said there was strange things going on last night. And so I told him a little bit of what I had seen, my suspicions, what had been happening. And he assured me that they would keep a watch out and that I didn't have anything to worry about as far, they park down here a lot, he said, and they keep a watch out. So I concluded from that someone that was drunk or that was on drugs had been out looking for things, and Flicker had chased them off during the night because she was down there barking, and I just hadn't seen the person. So for the next week, I kind of slept light. I was I was just, you know, any little bark from Flicker, I'd kind of rouse up and just kind of really listen to see what was going on. And I kind of slept light for the next week. And then around a week later, I was down at the high tunnel again. And I noticed the same thing. Here was some burnt leaves. And this was in the middle of the day, and I saw these burnt leaves again. It was freshly burnt leaves. And that's when the light bulb went off in my head. I don't know if some of you might have had a light bulb moment when it's kind of like, oh, man, what a fool I've been. And then it hit me what had happened. So this particular greenhouse is, it's rounded on the top. And in several places, water had pooled. The plastic was loose and water had pooled, and it was sagged down on top of the greenhouse. And you've probably get, and as I was down there in the greenhouse, I saw this little light flickering on the ground. And I was like, and that's when the light bulb went off, and I saw this little light flickering on the ground. And I realized the angle of the sun and where the light was and this big puddle of water up there was just a big magnifying glass. And it was, as the sun went across the sky, it was creating an arc on the ground, and it was burning my plants and my pots and the ground cover, and thankfully it didn't catch the greenhouse on fire. But here I was accusing, and I had told several people, David was one of them, that's why I was wondering if he was here. He was over for Sunday lunch that afternoon. I took him, and I was like, what is this? I was seriously did not know what this was. And I very much thought that, you know, I talked to the sheriff. I was sure someone was down there trying to sabotage the building or, you know, whatever. I was just accusing him. Here I was accusing some unknown drunken trespasser when really it was just my own negligence. It was my own fault. I should have had the plastic tighter. I should have pushed the water up and, you know, kept it out while I was waiting to replace the plastic. So false accusation is what I'd like to talk about this morning. And I don't know if any of you have ever been falsely accused, or maybe you've falsely accused someone yourself. And if you've been the victim of being accused falsely, you know, how did you feel when you were accused falsely? I have a feeling you didn't feel too good if you know, you knew what you did was right and someone else was accusing you wrongly. Thankfully, in my case, even though I was accusing someone, I didn't know who the person was. But enduring a false accusation, it's a form of persecution, really. It's not physical persecution, but it's verbal persecution. And in Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Blessed are you when men revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Notice there it says, "and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." It's for when they say manner against you evil for God's sake. It says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." So we need to embrace false accusations. If it's for Christ's sake, we need to embrace that and be glad for that. But as Christians, we also need to be very careful not to assume and not to charge someone with a wrongdoing without proper evidence. Because false accusations, they kind of have several different twists to them. And I'll talk about several of those. Like I said, in my case, in the story, I wasn't accusing anyone specifically, but it was false nonetheless. I was accusing someone falsely. There's times when someone believes with all their heart that they're right, and it turns out that you're wrong, and you're falsely accusing another person. And I believe that's kind of what the case is with the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day, and Saul, before he was converted, if you think back, you know, he was very passionate about for the wrong reason. You know, he was passionate that who he was persecuting, that they were wrong. He was falsely accusing those people, but it was for the wrong reason. And then there's times when someone intentionally speaks falsely against another in a malicious way, which would fall under the category of slanderous. So the word slander, it's actually only used two times in the New Testament, and it's used several times in the Old Testament. And the word slander means to give a false and malicious statement injurious to others' reputation. So I really believe that slander is sin. It's something that we don't want to be doing. We don't want to be accusing someone with the intent of accusing them falsely. That's slander, and it is sin. Another twist to a false accusation is the idea of a false witness. The ninth commandment in the Old Testament tells us not to bear false witness. And then Jesus reaffirms that in Matthew 19, verse 18. It says, a false witness is someone that deliberately tells the untruth about another person. That's a person that, you know, he deliberately also tells the untruth. He's maybe asked to do that. And I guess you could call him a liar. A false witness is a liar. And Proverbs has some really harsh words for someone that's a false witness. It says that a false witness will not go unpunished and will perish. And it also says in Proverbs that a false witness is a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow. So if you think of those things, a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow, all those things hurt. I mean, they're items that will hurt you. And false accusations are the same way. They hurt people. They really do hurt people. And sometimes they hurt really bad. I mean, not just a little bit. They really hurt bad. An example of someone that was falsely accused is Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. And if you think back, Stephen, he was accused of speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. In verse 11 and 13 in chapter 6 and 7. So if you're speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God, especially back before in that day and age, that was a very serious thing. When Stephen was asked if those accusations were true, instead of answering whether those accusations were true, he launched into the history of God's faithfulness to Israel and of God's sovereignty. And then he ended his rebuttal by accusing them of deliberately betraying and murdering the Messiah. He in turn, you know, accused them. So his focus was on Jesus and not about himself. And then this so, you know, just infuriated the ones that were accusing him that they in turn murdered him by stoning. So I'm just going to, if you want to turn in your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 6, and I'll just hit the highlights there. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15, and we'll pick up the story there of Stephen, where he was falsely accused. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned, or they hired men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then I'm going to pick up, also read verse 1 and part of 2. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." And then he proceeds to give an exposition of for the next 30, 40 verses there about the history of Israel and of God's faithfulness to the Israelites. Okay, so then I'm going to pick up in chapter 7, verses 51, if you want to look there. And then Stephen ends his message there. He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have ye not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them with showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at on him with their teeth." Then pick up at verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses," which would have been false witnesses actually, "laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." So as you think about, you know, they laid down their clothes at the feet of this man who was Saul, which later became Paul. And we know that Paul, or his name was changed to Paul, we know that Paul was another person that was also false accused. Only his story played out over a longer period of time. He was accused, and he took that opportunity to witness to the Gentiles, and his accusations ended up taking him all the way to Rome, and like I said, that was over a period of years. In both Stephen's and Paul's response, the way they responded to their false accusations, they responded in defense of the gospel and not about themselves, as you read it. They didn't focus on themselves, but their response was always about Christ. And Jesus also was falsely accused, and we're going to take a look at that, at his response in just a little bit. But I'd first like to look at there is an antidote for false accusations. There's a way to diffuse slander and false accusations in a godly way if you are falsely accused. We can do it in a way where we don't become guilty of getting back at our accusers, where we can practice love. Because a lot of times, you know, when we're accused falsely, we tend to want to get back at them. We want to take vengeance out of them. We don't want to show love to them. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15 to 17, it tells us if someone asks us what we believe, that we should always be ready to tell it, but to do it in a gentle and in a respectful way, so as to have a clear conscience. That way, if people speak out against you or falsely accuse you, they'll be ashamed when they see the good life you're living because you belong to Jesus. So I'd like to read that in 1 Peter. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 and to 17. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Let me just read part of 16 there again. "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ." So I think we really need to practice responding to those that falsely accuse us, or just responding in general. We need to have the attitude of gentleness and respectfulness in the small things in life, so that whenever someone does falsely accuse us, that is a natural thing for us to just respond that way when the really trying times come. Proverbs 15, verse 1 tells us that a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's gentleness. It's actually, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus also showed us how to respond in his own prophesied prosecution. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it told us that he would be oppressed, he would be afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth, and that as a lamb is brought before the slaughter, as a lamb is brought to the slaughter, and how a sheep before a shearers is dumb, so Jesus also opened not his mouth. So as you think about it, sheep, they don't retaliate back, and neither should we when we're falsely accused. We shouldn't retaliate back. We should respond with gentleness, meekness, and respectfulness. Then Matthew records how Jesus' trial went. His lack of response is in Matthew 27, verses 12 and 14. So when Jesus was accused by the chief priest and the elders, if you remember, he answered nothing in defense of his accusations, but rather he stated the facts about himself as being the Son of God and the eternal King. So he did respond back, but as far as his accusations, he didn't respond back at all to the accusations that were made against him. He did state, though, that he was the Son of God, that he was the eternal King. So the takeaway for me is that if and when I am accused falsely, when I'm asked to speak in defense of myself, that I do it in a way that is gentle and respectful, do it with meekness, and that I would practice and make that a way of life as I live, so that there's no opportunity to be for reproach against me as I go through life. Then lastly, I'd like to look at David and how he responded to the false accusations that he was trying to kill Saul and take his throne. People thought that were accusing him of actually trying to take Saul's throne and trying to kill Saul, which was untrue. In 1 Samuel 24, verses 9 to 11, you read how David was accused and then his response. But I'd like to read Psalm 7, verses 1 to 6, where David gives a more detailed view on why he responded with respect and honor. When, if you read through 1 Samuel, you'll see that David really responded with respectfulness and with honor towards Saul. And that also shows up in Psalms chapter 7. So I want to read the first six verses there. This is David speaking. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. So he's depending on God right here. He's asking God to save him and to deliver him. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, he's talking about these false accusations that were told about him. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So David is, in these verses, he's asking God to take vengeance on the people that were falsely accusing him. He was he was turning it over to God and just praying to God and just saying, Lord, you do with them the way you need to deal with them. So when we're the victim of slander and false accusations, our response should be that of prayer, not of revenge. You know, the typical thing is that we want to take vengeance on that person that falsely accused us. But we shouldn't do that. We should take it to God, and we need to live lives that would lead us to be where we would show love. Romans 12:19 and Hebrews 10:30 both say that vengeance belongs to the Lord and that God will repay. It clearly states that as we turn it over to God, God will meet vengeance out and he will repay in the matter that he wants to. Maybe not the way that we want it, but the way he wants to. So in other words, as Christians, we need to stand out of the way and we need to let God work. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at the future, we don't know what the future is. We don't know what next week holds or the next month or year, whether we'll be false accused. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to practice gentleness, that we would practice meekness, and that we would take our issues to you and that we would let you mete out judgment the way you want to do it. Lord, also, I just pray that you would help us to be defenders of the gospel when we're falsely accused, that we would not focus on ourselves, but that we would focus on you, and that we would let your light shine through us, and that we would defend your gospel. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.